Hey, this is Nick Gelso, co-owner and founder of CLNS Radio. Today's podcast is brought to you by Lynda.com. Lynda.com is the home of expert video tutorials. Because you're such a loyal listener of CLNS Radio, and it's 2015, you want to kick the new year off in style, claim your free trial today from CLNS by going to Lynda.com/CLNS. That's LYNDA.com/CLNS. Now on to your regularly scheduled program.
Welcome to the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com.
Off the turnover, Rondo reverse, plants it in.
Fans, this is your destination for interactive Celtics coverage all season long.
Kelly still has time, takes it.
So what are you waiting for? We want to hear from you. Dial in at 347-215-7771.
Green out of the corner. Got another one.
Now let's get it started.
All right. You heard the man, Nick Gelso himself. He'll be here tonight too, co-hosting this show. I am Jess Thomas, your host for the CLNS Radio Celtics postgame show. Tonight on Friday as the Celtics beat the Philadelphia 76ers 107-96 at the TD Garden. So another win for the Celtics, their third straight, and we're with you here as always. And as Nick told you, powered by Lynda.com, LYNDA.com. It's our sponsorship. You can get a 10-day free trial at LYNDA.com/CLNS. And you can do a lot of stuff there. It's used by millions and millions of people. They have over 4,500 courses on topics such as visual design, web development. You can do software training with Excel, WordPress, and Photoshop. And the most important thing is all their courses are taught by experts. So you're going to get some good advice for 2015 because, hey, it's been a month of the year, but it's still brand new and you can still do something new. So make sure you go sign up for your free trial at lynda.com/CLNS today. So I'm going to bring on Nick now, my co-host, the founder and co-owner of CLNS Radio. And he's the one who personally brought me on here last May. So it's been a little while now. It's my second time.
Wow. Yes, man. I recruited you.
You recruited me. You sent me that email. You said, why don't you come over here? And I said, let's do it. So thanks for that, Nick. And I'm excited to do the show.
Yeah, man. I definitely don't regret it. You've been terrific and thrilled that you're now a part of the postgame shows, which unfortunately this season has been kind of a dud, this season and last season. So you've not seen it during the elite years when you got 25 people on hold all night long on the call lines.
Sounds overwhelming.
We'll get back there. I'm pretty confident that Danny's putting us in the right direction. And tonight was a bit scary, though. It seems like the Sixers are constantly giving us scares. I mean, they totally suck. And it was a nice big gap. Celtics up big, and then the Sixers kind of made a charge at the end. Little scary again, brother.
Yeah, well, I definitely want to talk about that because here's my first thoughts is before the season started, I thought that the Sixers may be better than most people thought they would be. And then once the season started, I was like, well, who was I kidding? This team's horrendous. But recently, before this game, they'd won 3 out of 5. And I mean, they're 11-40, which isn't anything to look at all. But they're definitely even better the last couple of weeks. And do you think they're actually better than people think, or are they actually that bad? And just had a couple of lucky strings there. Yeah,
they're pretty bad. I mean, it's painful to watch. They always seem either the Celtics underachieve, you know, play down to the Sixers, or the Sixers just always seem to play them well. I think last year we dropped the game at Wells Fargo, and this year I think we came close out of Wells Fargo. So always kind of heart attack material. I mean, growing up, Jess, that was just an amazing matchup, Celtics and Sixers, you know, going back to the Dr. J era, and then even Charles Barkley era. It was just great basketball. And but the exception of 2012's kind of misfit matchup there with the seven-game series going mm-hmm. to seven, this rivalry is dead. There's no Sixers-Celtics rivalry anymore. There's not even anybody, you know. But, hey, listen, I was just glad to see Jared Solinger, you know, shooting 500 and notching 22 points. So, you know,
yeah, he had an excellent game. Yeah, well, no, yeah, you're right about the Sixers. I mean, last year I think the Sixers beat the Celtics 3 out of 4. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty confident in that. Yeah. But, I mean, this year the Celtics really have taken care of them. I mean, they won 101-90, 105-87, and then the 107-96 tonight. So they've all been double-digit wins. So they haven't been quite the picky team, the nitpicky team this year, but – in the past,
I don't
no
know if you know it or not, but I'm actually a Philadelphia. I'm about an hour and a half, just a little under an hour and a half outside of the city, Philadelphia.
I didn't know that actually.
You did? Oh, cool.
I did,
or you didn't? Oh, you did. Okay,
no,
I mean, I'm out here in Sixers territory, and
ugly place to be.
I mean, the fans are pretty discouraged, but I will tell you, Wells Fargo always was I used to cover a lot of games there. During the Celtics' good years, and always a pretty raucous crowd, kind of obnoxious, and not the easiest place to go for a team that sucks. The fans have always been pretty behind their 76ers, and really, I mean, they have struggled the last 2 years.
I know. I mean, where's the franchise going? They were talking about it on the game tonight, just where is this team going? They just get these good players and then they sit and don't play for a while. And then it's just, they just have a bunch of no name guys for the most part. And they turn the ball over so much.
So much. I mean, and who's even on that team? Who's the coach? I kind of glanced over. I thought it was like, I don't even know. I mean, I don't even recognize him.
Brett Brown is our coach.
Yeah, he's a no namer.
He's
that's the tank coach. I don't know. You know, I was going to piss everybody off and put, the battle of the tanking Titans tonight, but I don't know if you could say the Celtics are decided. I mean, even having bitched off Rondo, I think that they're still playing hard. I wouldn't say that they're tanking. It's because they're kind of in that, like, no man's land of, you know, too good to really utilize the draft, and too bad to make anybody content enough to watch on a regular basis. So they're in a tough spot, the Celtics, this year.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely too good to tank. I mean, they are inconsistent, I'll give them that. But they do stuff like the last 3 games where they won 3 games in a row pretty solidly.
Or out west. They played well out west.
Exactly. And the teams in the past haven't even done that. And this random team with guys who shouldn't be that good are winning 3 out of 6 games on a tough West Coast trip. And then they come back and win 3 games in a row now. So, I mean, I kind of want them to go to the playoffs just to see what they can do in the playoffs. Because obviously they wouldn't get very far, but just to give them some playoff experience, because they're obviously way too good for the lottery, because they're clearly not going to be one of the worst teams. So I think they should just give it everything and try to make the playoffs as a 7 or 8 seed. I think that'd be exciting.
Well, and you think about it, I mean, I don't know that. I don't think Sully has ever played in a playoff game.
No, I don't think he has.
He was injured in 2013, his rookie year. So.
Yeah, no, he hasn't.
Sully's never seen the playoffs. You bring up a good point. Guys like Solinger, Smart, Olenek, you want to see them get a little run in the playoffs, especially if we're in that no man's land territory, where you're not really going to be able to utilize the draft. You know, you might as well root for them to be an 8 seed and lose in 4.
Hey, you maybe know, you can pull out one game. You never know.
Well, I don't know. Maybe
there's
it's
no,
possible.
There's no point in being the 9 seed, though. No point in that at all.
What was that? No, 9 seed is just frustration. That's just, you know, that might as well have Danny trade the rest of the team for more second round draft picks if they're going to come in the 9 seed. That equates to the same amount of frustration.
Yeah.
Hey,
so
did you post a column today on CLNSradio.com about Danny being pleased with Brad?
No, that was Corey, I believe.
Yeah. What were your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on Brad Stevens?
I like him a lot. I mean, I think he's the right guy for the team because it's a young team and he's a young guy. And you saw success at Butler. You know he was a good coach. They had unbelievable seasons, back-to-back championship runs. They didn't win them, but they were there. And he just seems to have a good control of the game of basketball. And being a young coach, you can't expect him to just know everything immediately. But I think he's getting better and better, and the team's getting better recently. And I think that I know it's been brought up on past shows. I think that once they got rid of Rondo, Brad said, this is my team. You guys are going to listen to me. And it's, the result's been pretty good so far.
I wouldn't agree there. He seems to have, I mean, I wouldn't disagree there with most of what you said. He seems to have really taken a hold of control of this team since Rondo is gone. Like, you know, a business when you clean house. I mean, they cleaned house, and Brad Stevens has taken control of the team, which I'm far less frustrated. I don't care for him, but let's put it this way. He's not proven anything really to me yet, but he doesn't really have to prove anything to me. But he's definitely been, I've been less frustrated with him since Rondo is gone. He seems to be more assertive and have a little more emotion on the sideline. He just seems to have, like you said, more control over his team. And I kind of agree with you also that putting him, former very successful collegiate coach, in a position where he has to coach young developmental players, probably the right guy for the job in that regard. Now, unbelievably, as this season now at the midway point, next year he'll be running into his third season of a five-year contract, having pretty much not done much. I wonder how the rest of his contract is going to play out. It is 5 years, correct?
I believe you're right, yeah.
Big money, 5 years. See, if the Celtics turn the corner at that midway point for Stevens being his third year next season, see, maybe they can make the playoffs. And we could see what kind of, I mean, I don't even know what this guy really can do in end-of-game situations as far as calling plays go. He's not good at using timeouts. And he's not very good at rotating the players. You know, we're used to Doc being very, very good at end-of-game situations or low-clock situations. I wonder, from what I've seen, there hasn't been much of that, to be honest with you. Games just haven't been that close, I guess.
Yeah, it seems like there's been a few. And, I mean, earlier in the season, they struggled at the end of games, but that's not necessarily his fault. But I say make the playoffs, and then we'll see how he is at the end of games, if they can make it
that's
remotely
right.
close. Yeah,
that's right.
So we'll see how that is.
Well, for fans that are listening at the moment, and very shortly we'll be getting our locker room report from Jared Weiss, our locker room reporter at TD Garden, who's also the host of the Garden Report. And might as well do it, Jess. Tonight's locker room report will be brought to you by Lynda.com. Go to Lynda.com and claim your free trial. www.lynda.com/CLNS.
That's the third time we've promoted that tonight. I mean, it's the,
yeah,
the real deal. That's what we're here for.
Down comes Lynda. They're the primary sponsor right now, so do it up.
Yeah, it's all about Lynda.com. It's a great website.
I will tell you this, Jess, and I don't want to talk too much about Lynda.com. I don't want to make this a living commercial about Lynda, but I have saved money using it because it does have WordPress and Joomla tutorials, which are what Beats and Eats and CLNS Radio use for our back-of-the-house processing with our website. And I've had to call the IT people far less because of Lynda.com. Their online tutorials are pretty damn awesome.
That's excellent. Anything to make your guys' job easier, that's for sure.
And save money, man. We got to save money.
That's right.
Lynda
save
is
money
making us money and saving us money, yeah.
Can't go wrong with that. Get your free trial today. So let's, before Jared comes on here, let's just talk a little about the game. Jared Sullinger, as we mentioned, had 22 points, 8 rebounds, and 7 assists. 7 assists is a career high, so that's great to see. And Avery Bradley had 18 points, and he also had the first 7 points of the game where he hit 3 straight shots and got the Celtics on the right track, which is always good because they've had a lot of troubles in the first quarter this year. And he made sure that did not happen tonight because they had a great first quarter and we're up 29-15. So two more good performances from Sullinger and Bradley. But I wanted to get your take on Sullinger because, as we all know, he was late to two of the three games before tonight, and he had to come off the bench to start. He didn't start, so he came into the game about halfway through the quarter the first time, and he missed the whole first quarter of last game. So do you think that's the right disciplinary measure, or should Brad be sitting him more? Does it not matter? Like, what do you think of that?
I think that it is very fine line. I think Stevens is handling it well. You know, Sullinger's at a point in his career, still young, just needs to chill out a little bit, man. I mean, yeah, I think it was good disciplinary measures on that end. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's fine because, like, you don't want to sit him for the whole game because then, I mean, you need your best players in the game. Right, exactly. He's trying to win games, so that wouldn't make sense. But I think the first quarter for the second time was fair. And clearly he's responded because he had a great game tonight. He had a nice game last game, and he had an excellent game the game before that, scoring 22 points.
His father will kick his ass.
Yeah.
His father will kill him. I mean, his father is very engaged and involved in his career. Former, or I think he's still a coach.
Yeah, Sash Sullinger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think he'll get his act together. I don't know what this late stuff is. I don't know if it was legitimately like in traffic or he was just screwing around, but he's showing his play on the court, and that's good. And I'm excited about his assist. I mean, if he had a career high in assist last week, and then he broke it tonight with his 7. So I think that's excellent from the team. And going off of the assists, Marcus Smart had 8 assists tonight, and Evan Turner had 6 assists. It was a nice assist game all around tonight, and you're always looking for more guys to have more assists after Rondo's been on the team.
Absolutely, and there's nothing more beautiful than seeing a big man being able to pass. You know, so to see Sully, you know, being able to spot the open man, very important, because as he's getting better and drawing double teams, he's got to find the open guy. We know, you know, more recent years, Shaq was an amazing passer out of double teams. And back in the day, Walton, Kareem, they were great. So it's kind of one of the steps to getting, you know, to a star is being able to open or spot the open guy out of double teams. So it's good to see Sully, you know, notching some assists.
And the key to that is he only had 1 turnover. So if you can get 7 assists and 1 turnover, that's an excellent rate. And if you're going to score 22 points and 8 rebounds along with that, and he had 2 steals, that's a great game. That's a efficient, solid, very good game. And if he brings that almost every night, then I think he'll turn into a star pretty quickly. I've always liked him. I think if he can just keep his head on straight and keep his body healthy, which he's done well since the back surgery, I don't see why he wouldn't be an extremely good player in the league. I think he's a guy you have to keep. He's one of the guys on this team you have to keep, in my opinion.
Back in the in when he first came around, out of 2012 or 13, there were talks early on of him getting traded, and I was adamantly against it then. I've loosened up on that opinion a bit as this season he's kind of been really inconsistent. But when you're looking at this roster, I would probably say Sully is right there as the most talented guy. I think that Jared is on the call line. Jess, check that out.
He's not yet.
All right.
He's not showing up yet.
Nope, he's not. I
I'll keep watching for him.
I thought it was him. Yeah, we're expecting a call from TD Garden, Jared Weiss, in the locker room, Celtics Sixers, the Celtics postgame show, CLNS Radio.
Make sure you check out the Garden Report, CLNS Radio's YouTube channel for all the locker room reaction, Brad Stevens press conference, the Garden Report, all that good stuff. It's a great YouTube channel. I love listening to full length press conferences. So if you like interviews and like to hear from the players and from Jared, that is the place to be. So we'll talk a little about Bradley too. I mean, he's obviously one of the other better players in the team with Sullinger, and he's been playing excellent of late. I don't know if there's something in the water that he's been drinking recently, but he had 18 points tonight, and he's had a number of 17-point games, and he had 26-point game against New York on Tuesday, and he's been in double figures every game in the last 10. So, and he's been shooting the lights out in most of those games, especially recently. So he seems to be coming into a hot streak, and he seems to be confident in his shot. And they're going to need that from him every night, because they're going to need stuff from Sullinger and Bradley every night if they're going to win games. And they have been playing well and they have been winning. So I think those two guys are crucial to your success.
Talking, well, and Bradley in particular seemed very shaken by the Rondo trade. I don't know if you noticed that. So it's good to see him coming back around. And also, when thinking about Bradley, he's another one where injured mainly for, I think, two of the three, if not all three, playoff runs that the Celtics had, you know, during the Big Three era. So it would be nice to see Bradley get some playoff run as well.
Yeah, if you're gonna want your best players to continue to grow into really good players, you're gonna have to give them some playoff experience. And they're both still very young. Bradley's 24 and Solander's 23, so they got plenty of time. And if they continue to get better and get some playoff experience, then I'm excited about both of them. So I'm looking forward to that. So let's talk about some younger players here. Now that we've talked about the best players, so Marcus Smart started the last two games, and James Young has gotten more time, only 11 and a half minutes tonight, but he played 20 on Wednesday night. He had a pretty poor game tonight, but he's been inconsistent, but he's shown some flashes of some nice shooting. He needs to figure out his defense, but he's only 19, so that should come. And then Smart with 7 rebounds and 8 assists tonight. He only had 3 points, but when he is not scoring, he's doing everything else. He also had 2 steals tonight as well. So I think these guys are definitely players for the future, especially Smart, but Young is getting more minutes, which everyone's been crying for a while. So he's playing more minutes, and the results are kind of so-so. What do you think about both of them?
I'd agree exactly with your appraisal there. I'd love to see them in practice, the younger guys. I'd love to see how Brad Stevens coaches them in practice, and how, I mean, it's so important in a young player's development is how they interact and during practices. And one of the hard things about being a rebuild team is you're kind of devoid of that great locker room guy or that great practice guy. People used to say it a lot about Rasheed Wallace, who we all banged our heads off the wall every time he shot a three, and he always constantly looked lazy and was definitely out of shape. But Sheed was a good locker room guy and a great practice guy. And it's important for the young players to have that. So I'd love to see what goes on in practice. Of course, I'm in Scranton, PA, so I ain't seeing it anytime soon.
it's good to always have a veteran. I mean, at least they have people like Gerald Wallace, and I mean, you can call Brandon Bass a veteran at this point for sure. So this, and Tayshaun Prince at the current moment, even though he's injured at the moment, but there's definitely some guys who have some good experience that these guys can learn from. And I think Smart's willing to learn from anybody. He just wants to get better and better, and he is getting better and better. And I just love watching him play defense, because he plays defense like he's been in the league for 10 years and he's been in the league for a couple months. So I think he's a great defensive player, and his offense is getting better. He just needs to work on driving to the hoop, which he did actually 2 plays in a row tonight. So that was excellent to see, because most of the time he just shies away from driving the basket. Yeah. He's clearly not confident with that at all. So I think that's his biggest point to work on, is driving to the basket.
Yep, I would agree with that completely. I would think ball handling, driving to the basket, they're his development points. Obviously, we were really used to penetrate and kick. When Rondo was really good, that's what he was doing, you know, driving the lane, kicking it out to Ray, or finding the open big man under the basket. So kind of, we don't have that right now. So it's nice. Mm-hmm. Or it would be nice to see a guy like Smart step up and be able to do that. I don't know that it's in his strong points. A lot of people compare him, you know, being a strong, small player to guys like Dennis Johnson, good defensive player. So we'll see. Again, I don't think we've seen enough of him to really make valid assessments. I haven't, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think a couple months is enough to evaluate anyone, but it's good that he's got 8 assists tonight and he's been getting some assists. It's just not driving to the basket and kicking it out. It's more passing on the baseline and around the top of the key is how he's getting
his assists.
As long
as the ball is moving and he's initiating the movement, and I think that Stevens plays that type of offense, a lot of perimeter shooting, a lot of movement, there should be a lot of assists. I mean, technically, there should be a lot of assists for the style offense that Brad Stevens has on this team. And you haven't seen it a lot this year. So to be able to see not just a nice assist number, but distributed well over multiple players, including big men, you have to be satisfied with that. You have to be happy with that. It's definitely playing into what I would think, and I've had a hard time identifying what our offensive strategies are, but I think that that would be movement and a lot of perimeter shooting on a team that really doesn't have great perimeter shooters. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's definitely their style of play right now, is pass it around the perimeter and get some shots. So he's definitely doing a good job of that. So look to continue seeing that for the rest of the year. If you want to call into the show, CLNS Radio Celtics postgame show, the number is 347-215-7771. Call in and chat with us about the Celtics and Sixers game tonight, which the Celtics won 107-96. You can catch us on social media, on Twitter at www.clnsradio.com/Twitter, and Facebook as well, of course, www.clnsradio.com/Facebook. Pretty easy links to remember, so make sure you check out both of those, as well as
Pinterest. That's right. Pinterest. Dudes do browse Pinterest now. And they're really going after Pinterest is going after a male demographic that includes sports fans. So, being the progressive company we are, our marketing team put together a Pinterest page. Pinterest.com/CLNSPins. Check it out.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out. I haven't seen that yet. It seems like a kind of a girl's website, but if you can get guys involved with sports on it, then they're gonna make their popularity that much more, for sure.
They're going after that demographic. I think I posted that in our memo group maybe a week or two ago. Is that 2015 initiative for the Pinterest team is male, getting more male participation. So we jumped on it. We'll see what happens. The following hasn't been great compared to our other social media following. So it's slow to court, but we're giving it a shot.
Hey, those things take time. You gotta get people to know about it, which is what you just did. So I'm sure we'll pick up at some point in the near future, like the rest of the social media has, for sure. So Nick, let's talk about some bench tonight, because the bench was extremely effective in this game, especially in the first half. I was just noticing the amount of points that the bench was scoring in such short periods of time. Jay Crowder had 6 points in 12 minutes in the first half. Tyler Zeller had 9 points in 11 minutes, and Marcus Thornton had 8 in 9 minutes. And for the game, Crowder had 11 points, and Zeller and Thornton each had 16. So the bench played great tonight. They're basically the only guys who played, because Young was the other one with 11 minutes, and Pressey only played 1 minute. I'm going to get to him in a little bit. But the guys who did play, they all looked good. Thornton was firing up threes and keeping the Celtics in the lead, especially when the Sixers came back within three. When it was an 80-77 game, he hit 2 threes in a row. So he was important. Zeller got 25 minutes and played big minutes at the end of the game, getting 9 rebounds and 3 blocks to go along with the 16 points. And then Crowder with the 11 points, 6 rebounds, and he had 2 steals. And he's always making the hustle plays. I love his game. So talk a little about the bench tonight, because they did a great job.
Agreed. I would agree with you there. And that's always encouraging as well, bench participation. So good to see. Absolutely.
And they've had good bench participation all season long. Whoever lands on the bench on a particular night, they always seem to play, because the Celtics bench has been one of the strong points this year, even though it hasn't been the same guys basically in any game, because the starting lineup changes quite frequently. But whoever's on that bench just seems to perform, and that's excellent, because it means you're getting production from everybody, which is excellent. But the guy we're not getting production from is Phil Pressey. That's what I wanted to get to. Only played 1 minute tonight, and it was at the end when the Celtics were up pretty big again when they made a late run. He seems to fall out of the rotation a little bit. He's not really getting a whole lot of playing time, and when he does, he plays well. But he just doesn't seem to be in the loop recently. Sometimes not even playing, sometimes just getting a minute or two. He played 3 seconds last game, 1 minute and 4 seconds tonight, and less than 10 and 2 before that. So what's happening to him? Why isn't he getting playing time?
Dude, I couldn't identify it, to be honest with you. Like I said, the rotations have perplexed me through and through. I mean, last season they did too. It's just we don't know what's going on behind closed doors either. So, and I can just tell you, I don't know. I cannot give you a valid even analysis on that.
Yeah, because it seems like he would play. It's not like someone's really taking his minutes, besides Young, really.
No.
But he only played 11 and a half minutes tonight. So it was, he's not really even taking his minutes either. So it's just kind of strange that he's not even getting at least 15 minutes.
To me, it seems like the rotations never really had much rhyme or reason. Now, I used to know them like the back of my hand with, and this current team, I can't, there's so many elements I can't get my arms around. A lot of it is because I've been traveling and preoccupied with business that I've not been able to tune in. I mean, geez, Jess, I used to watch the commercials. I loved it so much. You know, the TSNNE commercials, I don't get them here in PA. So, you know, when League Pass flips them on, you'd absorb every bit of the Celtics game. And it, you know, obviously my attention may not be as focused as much, even though my support is totally with the team. Like I said, timeouts, rotations, they have completely confused me. I've not been able to put my arms around it with this current team and even last year's team.
Well, I should be able to because I watch every game. I mean, I'm the kind of fan like clearly you were before, just every second of the game being attentive to it, and I like to keep up like that. And I've done a good job recently, especially since I graduated college. I've had plenty of time recently to watch every single game. But like you said, the rotations just seem to change all the time, and there's clearly nothing set specifically of this is what we're going to do tonight. It seems to change based on the matchup, based on the opponent, every single game. It's always different. So I don't think there is much rhyme or reason to it, really, but it always confuses me when someone who's used to playing, even if it's 10 or 15 minutes, starts to play like 2 minutes or 1 minute or 5 seconds. That just makes no sense to me. I'm not really sure how that works.
I'm with you, Jeff, on that. What else, buddy? I mean, I lost my train of thought. Actually, this is what happens whenever I get on the postgame show. I start getting text messages from people who are listening. Call in. Stop texting me your remarks. Call in.
We don't need Nick to be distracted.
347-215-7771. It's toll free.
Yeah, it's the easiest way you could possibly do it. Simple clicks of a phone and you're on. You don't
Stop
have to worry about
texting
anything.
Me.
Don't text Nick.
Yeah, because then I'm losing my placement here in your flow of amazing topics, Jess. Damn, you've gotten good at this. You need a podcast, bro. Next year.
This is only my second time hosting the postgame show, too. So.
Well, I'll tell you what. You are a fast learner. This is your second. So the first time was with me. I kind of led host. I think.
No. I meant this is my second time lead hosting.
Yeah, because you've hosted more than two times.
Well, yeah, I've hosted like seven or eight times. But lead hosting is a whole different animal, as I'm sure you know. So.
It is. And wait until you see it. I mean, like I said, years past, call lines would be just jammed. It's hard to. We used to have somebody, the social media guy would be dedicated to the switchboard and screening callers too, because it was just, you know, you wouldn't get to everybody. But boy, fun times when there's a lot of fan participation. What I've noticed this year, and I think we might have discussed this with somebody else, and I did it, is that the fans have now, just like everything else, I think in life with young people at least, have gotten, you know, love to text, they love to tweet. So the engagement and interaction seems to be more spread out over Twitter than it is spread out over our call lines. And that might be because of lack of enthusiasm for the team, but our ratings are up. So it's been kind of perplexing to me as I've tried to kind of figure it all out. But it seems like Twitter blows up after every postgame show. Of course, you can follow us there at CLNS Radio.
Yeah, it's definitely a different dynamic than it used to be. I mean, I didn't even get Twitter until a couple of years ago, like a year and a half ago, whatever it was. I got it for my social media class, my last semester of college, which is how you found me. So I'm still pretty brand new on Twitter. So it's funny to me to see how everyone's so involved in that. It makes even me feel funny, old, even though I'm not.
It's funny that you say that because I've been on Twitter since I think 2005 or 6. I remember using the navigation thing and trying to see who was in my town on Twitter, and nobody was. But the funny thing is, I didn't figure out how to really master Twitter until last year. I mean, it took me that long. I used to just use it as a link dump. You know, you'd have an automatic feed that would hook up to our blog, and the post would hit it as you hit publish. I never really interacted on there. And then when we got nominated for the Stitcher Awards, my Twitter following blew up, and all of a sudden, it was like the skies parted, and the little blue bird from Twitter, you know, appeared, and I learned how to use it. So, yeah, a lot of fun this year on Twitter. It's definitely an improvement from other years. Social media, Twitter, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I still like the old fashioned though better. I'd prefer more people to call in than be on Twitter, but I guess just that's just how things are going nowadays. So what are you gonna do?
Yep. Me too. I would prefer callers too.
Yeah, it's more fun. It's more personal. It's more interactive, in my opinion. So, mm-hmm. Oh well. But let's see what else we got tonight. I got more stuff. So
dude, your Sixers, topics are great, man.
Well, thank
topics.
You. I appreciate that. The Sixers' free throws tonight were horrendous. The Sixers were 15 for 31 from the line. That's a hefty 48%, which is about as bad as it gets for free throws. If they made most of their free throws, this could have been a real close game, because there were a couple points where they were getting pretty close there, and then they missed two free throws, and then Celtics would score 5 points, and then it's like, well, if you made your free throws, then it would be a couple point game, and then they might have had a chance. So I think the free throws just destroyed the Sixers tonight, along with their 17 turnovers. That's the sign. That's the those are the warning signs for a bad team for sure.
Fundamentals that help poor teams not be quite so poor. Does that make sense? It does, because you've got to do the things like hit your free throws, hit layups. You've got to do the easy things when you suck, because otherwise you're just going to get blown out every single game. And the Sixers have managed to be pretty good at that for reasons such as free throw shooting. You know, you've got to be able to capitalize on any opportunity for easy buckets when you're bad. I mean, you do all the time, but when you're bad in particular, there's no room for that.
And especially if you're getting to the line as many times as they did, 31 free throw attempts is good. It means you're going to the basket, you're getting to the line. But if you're making less than half of them, then it's kind of like, what's the point of even going to the basket? Which brings me to my next topic, going to the basket, which the Sixers did an excellent job of. So maybe they have a little bit of hope with that, because they were going to the basket a pretty decent amount of times. And in the second half, the Celtics just weren't. They did well in the first half. They only shot a couple of threes early on for about the first quarter and a half. But then in the second half, they just started shooting threes and missing threes. And that's when Philadelphia came back. They just didn't drive to the basket. And that's been a problem all season long. I mean, they got 25 free throws, but that's just because Philadelphia is not good.
Oh, yeah. But if you were listening to Scotty, it would be because it's rigged, and now Adam Silver just hates us. You know, he just keeps putting Philadelphia on the line.
Yeah, so it's just...
Speaking of Adam Silver, Jared's about to call in. Jared had an amazing exclusive with Adam with Commissioner Silver last year. Exclusive one-on-one interview. Really kicked ass. But while we're waiting on Jared here, you can keep your eye on that call line. He's calling in any minute. He just texted me.
Yeah, he actually is. He's on now.
Is he on the line?
Yeah.
Well, why don't we ask him? Put him on the air. I want to ask him what his impressions of Commissioner Silver are thus far, midway point of this year.
All right, Jared, if you heard that, then go ahead and answer.
I would say Adam Silver has been the most remarkable and innovative commissioner that I've seen in my lifetime. I am blown away. Absolutely. Are you kidding me? Look at the changes that have been made to the way that the NBA has become accessible and interactive and much more detailed. I mean, just so when I interviewed him, it was at the Bill Russell enshrinement ceremony for the statue that was built for him in Boston. And I ran into him at the function afterwards. I remember I was sitting next to Dr. J and Charles Barkley. So I clearly fit in perfectly at this event. No question about that. And I ran into him and I said, "Hey, do you have a few minutes?" It was the day that they were launching the SportView motion tracking data stat profile site available to the public, and he was like excited to talk about it. We had so much fun talking. We talked for a good 10 minutes or so, and the way that he sold the initiative, the way that he described it, his intricate understanding and of the details of all of it was incredible. And I love David Stern. I know my dad actually knew David Stern a little bit from when they were lawyers together in Boston and New York. And he had great things to say about David. Obviously, he was a bit of an enigmatic personality, maybe a bit of a megalomaniac, but he still was a fascinating guy. But Adam Silver is such a sweet, polite, but incredibly intelligent, a great speaker in his own way. I mean, people had a problem with him when he showed up because he kind of looks funny. He looks like your kind of typical MIT kind of guy. But he's a really good speaker. He answers questions so well. And I think he's everything you could possibly want out of a commissioner. And he's in a time where we have Roger Goodell that's making his it seems like he's making his league fall apart at the seams. You can't make a good decision left or right. Adam Silver continues to be very firm. Yet very open-minded,
fair.
Remarkably so open-minded, incredibly fair, absolutely, Nick. And I'm blown away by his openness to innovative ideas, especially the idea of revamping the playoff format, which is an incredibly, incredibly innovative concept. I just love what he's doing. He's really fostering innovation, and he's a product of the Sloan Analytics Conference in so many ways. I mean, he probably deserves credit for shaping the way that conference has developed over the years, but he really seems like a byproduct of this new era of advanced analytics and innovation focus. And I love it.
I would say that probably, like, I would agree with you. I don't know if I go so far as to say he's the most impressive, whatever you opened with, but what's impressing me about him, number one, you mentioned Goodell, and he, Adam Silver, what is this, year two or year one, Jared? Year two.
Year two.
He's gotten through the Donald Sterling bull crap, gotten through all that. You get to the NFL is a mess, and everybody in the media, especially the non-sports media, which is really how I paid attention to this NFL BS, because ESPN, I'm not going to do it. And they've all said, I've heard on numerous occasions, if Goodell could only take after Adam Silver. I mean, that's impressive for a guy who's a year and a half in. Then add to that, he has ginormous shoes to fill by David Stern, not just in the skill of marketing and what Stern did to reinvent the game, which, in my opinion, besides his pompous narcissism and all, some of his personality quirks, by far the best commissioner sports has seen in the last 30, 40, if not ever. You credit Magic and Bird and Jordan, but there ain't no Magic, Bird, and Jordan if there wasn't David Stern's ability to market those guys and make them marketable and know how to market stars. Adam Silver has stepped in, and it's almost as if he was always there. That's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Stern had to do the heavy lifting to really turn the NBA into a behemoth, and he did an incredible job of that. And, yeah, I would say Stern has been he's the hallmark for a commissioner in my lifetime. Probably, it seems like pretty much ever. Silver,
ever.
It seems like he was trained by the master, and he's the great young disciple that's going to put all the finishing touches on this masterpiece. And
I agree with you, and it seems, let you finish your thought, but it also seems like he has taken the better qualities of Stern, instituted them, and gotten away from what everybody, especially as David Stern got older, he got more and more flippant and snarky. I think, people appreciate, especially you being part of the media and having interacted with these guys, you got to appreciate Adam Silver's candor and without the attitude. So, yeah, he's taken like the best qualities of David Stern and wiped away the bad qualities, and he's turned out, and yeah, he looks a little quirky, but damn it, he is good. I mean, he has done already in a year and a half done great things for the sport, and contrasting or putting it up against the MLB and the NFL basketball, who just 12 years ago there was the balance of the palace. He has rebounded remarkably well and is doing well globally.
Well, I would compare the two leagues. You have the NBA under Silver and Stern's leadership, I would say it's more akin to Google, while I would compare maybe the NFL to like Verizon or Comcast or Time Warner, one of these You know, because like Comcast and Time Warner, although they're probably not bigger anymore, but those are these big monoliths of corporations that they basically piss on all their customers and everyone involved with them. But they deliver you their one limited, they deliver you their service, and they have a monopoly over everything in their region.
Jared, that is a great blog post. You got to turn that into an article.
I think I do have to. But to finish my verbal blog post here, the MBA comparison with Google is that they had this one little product, but they branched out into all these little kind of mini projects. They foster innovation. They encourage little ideas to try to blossom. And the NBA has just done so much better with that. And the fan engagement is so much more positive with the NBA. With the NFL, it's always this tug of war trying to get access. Mm-hmm. Like in the NFL, it's impossible to watch the game if you're not in front of a TV, unless you want to pay $300. While the NBA is doing such a great job of increasing that access, and trying to make it so that that interactiveness and innovation are going hand in hand. And you see that the way the fans are able to interact with their game, there's so much more love for the league. There's so much more like genuine love and affection in social media and all that for the league. While with the NFL, it seems like it comes from more of an, I would say it's like the NBA is kind of like living in San Francisco while the NFL is like living in Boston or New York. You're really kind of flipping each other off to the point that you're just really talking to each other when you're an NFL guy. While in the NBA, it's a much more friendly experience.
It's funny because the NFL has become so pompous and so – it's like almost like this year has knocked them down a peg. And you know my feelings on the NFL. I made it really clear, and I don't like to talk about it too much because we're hooked into the leagues here. But I just have lost – years ago, I lost my patience for the arrogant opinion that that the sun rises and sets globally with the NFL. And really, it's an American sport. Yes, it's worldwide adored, but it's like number four after soccer, basketball, and baseball globally. So – you know, I don't want to see any league suffer, but Goodell's got to go. He's still lingering around, and the NBA continues to shine. Jared, can you imagine? We have been doing this 6 years, buddy. Me and you. We have been. I'm just thinking as we're talking here, and yeah, I talk over you, but that's what I do. But other than that, it's like we just know. I know when you're going to stop. You know when I'm going to stop. And dude, like it's like 6 years. I can't believe 5-6 years we've been doing this. Like, it's just insane. We watched, you know, from a championship to the bottom, well, second to bottom, we watched the two worst teams in the Atlantic Division. It was only 2 or 3 years ago we were broadcasting Game 7 for the Sixers-Celtics.
For me, I got to cut my teeth on that incredible 7-game series between the Sixers and Celtics. That was when I really kind of, I was a rookie actually reporting when that happened. And to see these two teams competing now, it's kind of remarkable how different the game is, because that Sixers-Celtics series before the Celtics had their historic series against the Heat, I mean, that series was incredible, and that was one of the most fun playoff series in the Eastern Conference playoffs in the last few years. That was a great series.
That Game 7 was right up your alley. Your boy Rondo just took over. I mean, hitting three-point shots, and I mean, it was almost like we watched the torch being passed from the big three to Rondo, because they were deferring to him in crucial points offensively, which had never happened before and maybe hasn't happened very often since. But at that moment in that game, Rajon Rondo was the best player in the world. He was amazing.
Yep.
That was a great series.
Well,
that was – Iguodala was still in Philly. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Things changed fast.
I'll tell you tonight. Tonight, the torch is really passed down to Tim Frazier of all the point guards in this game. I mean, he had, for an NBA debut, that was pretty remarkable from Tim Frazier.
Yeah, 11 assists. That was pretty crazy.
And 5 rebounds as a point guard playing his first game against the team that he was a member of up until last night. It's pretty amazing.
He did miss 4 free throws, however.
How dare he? No, I mean, he said he's got to get better at that, but I mean... Just to kind of put up those numbers and play the way he did, considering that he beat out KJ McDaniels, who's been kind of like the star for this team so far, to get those point guard minutes. And he had the second most minutes, or third most technically by seconds, on the team.
Yeah, it was a pretty impressive game by him. He was getting a lot of time. But what were you hearing from the locker room tonight, Jared? Anything exciting?
So I waited around for Tim Frazier and Nerlens Noel, which certainly took a while there. Frazier talked about just, of course, how much of a whirlwind it's been from, I mean, as far as getting called up to a different NBA franchise than you were with, the fact that he was in Portland, Maine, and he was able to just drive down with the team car to get down to Boston, but to play for the Sixers. Brett Brown, actually, the Sixers coach, it was kind of interesting how he kind of brought the story forward. He said, come on, Tim Frazier, he drives down 95, switches jerseys. That's a hell of a story. So I tweeted it out with Tim Frazier as editor-in-chief of the Philadelphia 76ers. So, you know, Frazier, it's a great story, and I can't wait to talk about it more tonight as we continue to cover this game. But just to see the kind of numbers that he put up in his first game, but more so just to see the minutes that he got. His first game is a situation where the starting point guard, who's the best player on the team, he's out with a foot injury. You get called up from a different franchise. I mean, he was playing in Maine. He was really pretty much a Celtics player because he did training camp in the Celtics. He played for the Sixers in Summer League, I believe, though. So he's kind of been bouncing back and forth between those two franchises. And this story certainly illustrates how great the D-League is and how great this new program where all the teams have strong relationships with D-League teams and make them their farm teams, how advantageous this is for basketball players because there's all these guys that are getting these little shots at playing that used to never get them and they used to have to go overseas to get them. So it's really great to see how well this is working. The system really is great for the league. But for Frazier to just to have all this happen to him all of a sudden and still get in there and out and beat out the guy that was starting over him in your first ever NBA game, that's just tremendous. And you're just so happy for the guy. You know, I asked him about what it was like for him in Maine, what they worked on with him. I know Maine, they've been really focusing on making everybody there a three-point shooter. You know, if Joel Embiid was playing in Maine right now, they'd probably have him jacking up corner threes the entire time. Although I wouldn't be surprised if Joel Embiid starts shooting corner threes later in his career. But he said that just they worked on everything with him. They taught him how to be a hardworking NBA player. They worked on his shooting. They worked on every single facet of his game. And he was so grateful of how much he's gotten out of his time with Maine. And then, of course, he's only on a 10-day contract. I assume after he played tonight, as long as he plays in a similar way, he's going to stick around there. But even if he doesn't, he'll go back to Maine. He'll still have plenty of opportunity. And who knows if he'll get to join the Celtics at some point if he isn't able to latch on with the Sixers.
Yeah, it was fun watching him tonight after watching him in the preseason with the Celtics. It was definitely a flip-flop kind of thing, and he played pretty well for the Celtics in the preseason, so I think he's definitely got a future if he can latch on to a team. Maybe that will be Philadelphia.
Yeah. If Phil Presti wasn't on the Celtics, I think Frazier would have made the roster here. It was really just that they already had a young point guard that they really liked that was on that had proven already that he could play for them. Tonight, Frazier obviously was a better player. Presti only played a minute. He had a really nice floater, actually, I think it was, to the score. I think it was on his first possession, though. Presti, I've always been a fan of his. He's an absolute spurt of energy. He can be a game changer when he comes in there. But his defensive consistency is an issue for him. I mean, his effort's always 100%. He's always trying to make plays, but he gets bullied because a lot of the guys he's facing are 3 or 4 inches bigger than him. And then he still can't shoot. He hasn't really hit any jump shots in his career so far, very few of them. So the court collapses on him, and he loses a lot of effectiveness. But him in transition, both ends, he's fantastic, and he really gets rebounds really well. So Presti's a guy that they look at him, and they think he has a lot of the components to make him a good player sometime in the future. And if he weren't there, Frazier probably would be that guy in the same position right now.
That's so funny. I was actually going to ask you about Presti because me and Nick talked earlier about how he's gotten so little time the last couple of games, with 3 seconds last game, a minute and four today, and less than 10 in the two games before that. Do you know if there's a reason for that, or is it just the matchups? Is he not getting playing time?
Yeah, it's mostly that. I wrote a pretty long article before the game about that. And with him, it's that Smart's kind of getting into the starting lineup, and they're also tightening up the rotation. With Smart in the starting lineup and Turner at the three right now, Thornton's the guy getting the minutes out of the backcourt, and then they're giving James Young a good amount of time too. So Young's taking a lot of the minutes that they would have probably given to Phil Presti. Now, they like having those three guys there, Crowder, Mark Thornton, and Young, as their kind of bench guys. They're trying to stick to a nine-man rotation, trying to be more of an NBA team. And you notice you didn't even see Gerald Wallace play tonight, and Tayshaun Prince was hurt, so he couldn't play. But Pressey, I think if they go, if they have games where they really want little guys out there, he'll be getting more minutes. But just the matchups have worked out so that he's not really getting any chance to play.
Yeah, that makes sense. Do you like having Smart, Bradley, and Turner all in the starting lineup since they're all kind of smaller guys?
Absolutely. I mean, Bradley and Smart definitely play beyond their size defensively. And Turner's 6'7"-ish, maybe even 6'8". He's big. I mean, he's a little thin. He doesn't really match up physically. But you got Jay Crowder behind him. Jay Crowder's a bruising small forward who can even stretch out to the four, and they've been trying to do that a little bit with him. And they are trying to go small. Now, I mean, right now they have Seller coming off the bench, and he's contributing pretty decently off the bench. They have Solinger and Bass, who are bangers and don't really have a lot of length. But I feel like their bench gives them – they can bring in that second unit to have a better defensive control over the game because they've got a lot of size there. Young brings them a lot of quickness and energy in transition, although his game is very unrefined at this point. But Crowder has a pretty refined game. He tries to get to the rim. He'll take some spot-up shots, but he'll rebound hard and he'll defend really hard, and he'll run in transition. And then Zeller also he's pretty locked into his spots. Neither of those guys are game-breakers, but they're guys that you can bring them off the bench and they're pretty effective. So the Celtics are, I mean, without Kelly Olynyk right now, they don't really have any versatility. I'd say Evan Turner is the only really versatile player on this roster right now. Jared Solinger is tremendous tonight. Even though the only flaw in this game is he went 1-for-5 from deep, but he had 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 22 points. He was great otherwise. So right now they don't have versatility. That's their issue. When they get Olynyk back, which it looks like it's probably going to be a few weeks, then that will be that'll really, really help them because they miss having him as a matchup issue and all that stuff. But right now, they're going with this lineup of Smart, Bradley, and Turner. And what's good about it is that they don't have matchup issues on their end necessarily. That's something that they probably just are looking for, is that just to be able to match up well.
Yeah, you were talking about Solinger. He had a career-high 7 assists tonight, which is all you can ask for a big man. Me and Nick talked a lot about him earlier in the show, so definitely seeing some great stuff from him. I just wanted, before you go, Jared, I wanted to get both your thoughts on this. Since you guys talked about Adam Silver, and I actually had it in my topic list about the possible playoff change that Silver wants, having the 6 division winners and then the 10 next best records, no matter what conference is in. Do you guys think that that's possible? That could happen, and if it did happen, would you like that?
I think it would probably happen a few years from now. I think they would need to allow teams to kind of carve up like a 3-year plan to prepare for the change, because there's probably a lot of teams basically in the Eastern Conference are not going to be playoff teams any longer. I think it might come hand in hand with lottery reform, because if you're going to do that, you kind of have to reform the lottery at the same time. But I love the idea. So geographic limitations are the whole idea of divisions. They seem to have kind of faded over the last 20 years. And it's mostly because travel has obviously gotten a lot easier for these guys. They have charter planes now, so they don't have to try to squeeze in coach to a quick flight, all that kind of stuff. And also with social media, fans being able to interact with other fans has expanded so much that it's no longer just like New York and Boston people just kind of know each other because they're close cities. So that's why they have the rivalry. I mean, the Celtics' biggest rivals over the past couple of years was Miami. So if you really want to have a great division, it should have been Miami and Chicago and Boston, Orlando, basically over the last 5, 6, or 7 years. So divisions with their geographic limitations have lost a lot of value. In football, I feel like that's probably the one where it holds a little bit more weight, just because in football you play so many less games. So those games against your division rivals are a much, much, much bigger deal. Although you saw in the NFL a while back, they were able to move the divisions around. So you can still do it. But with the NBA, I'd say that divisions just don't seem to matter nearly as much as they ever did in the past, really, for any of these other sports. And this could work out pretty well if they really wanted to pull it off.
Nick, what do you think about it?
I agree. I would agree with Jared too. Back in the day, it was, you know, the divisions just meant so much, and today they just don't mean nearly as much. I mean, you only had 2 divisions, and you win the division, you're automatic second seed. And today, it just doesn't matter quite as much. And Jared's right too about travel time, social media, just so many differences. And yeah, I'm with Jared on that. I have to echo everything you just said.
Yeah, I think it's definitely
appreciated.
It would definitely be a big change with with the playoffs, because as you said, Jared, this is going to be a lot less Eastern Conference teams in the playoffs, because they're not the top 10 teams after the division winners by any stretch of the imagination.
The NBA's got a bigger problem, and it's the distribution of talent in regards to Western and Eastern Conference. Yeah. You always had it subtly, and usually it was the East that was stronger, more of a powerhouse, where the West was kind of like the East is today, only not nearly as much of a gap in talented teams, and it's really, really off-center now. And that's, I don't know how they fix that, Jared, but they do have to work on that somehow.
Yeah, I mean, there's more appealing cities located in the Eastern Conference. I mean, the Western Conference, it looks like.
There always was, though.
Players'
agendas has changed. That's really what it's down to.
Players want to be more involved with the culture and nightlife, probably really on a national level, but definitely at least in their city. And also, I'd say the
weather.
Money worked out. Yeah, and then, of course, the weather is the big one. So guys want to be in nicer weather states. The West Coast overall generally has better weather than the East Coast. They don't really get terrible snowstorms. I'm sure, like, Tim Frazier had to drive down to Boston on Wednesday. It took me, like, 2 hours up anywhere in Boston Wednesday, so that must have sucked.
The other thing, too, is now I'm completely losing my train of thought here. West Coast, East Coast teams. I forget what I was going to say. Sorry about that. That's embarrassing.
Hey, it happens.
I know I was saying player agendas, and that definitely has something to do with it. And that, to me, is very frustrating, because winning culture in a franchise – oh, I know what I was going to say. There's also the tax bracket situation. I mean, obviously no income tax in South Beach in Miami, and that is very attractive, would be attractive to me as well. Talking about giving yourself a 27% pay increase, that's pretty sweet.
And that's why free agents like to go to Texas, too. And there's a bunch of other states that are going to take advantage of that.
Yep. All
right, Jared, you got anything else for us?
What do you got for – yeah, clear, closing thoughts, buddy.
No, that's pretty much it. It was just – it was nice that the game that – generally nobody would care about, since it's two of the worst teams in the league, actually turned out to be a pretty interesting game. I mean, the Celtics blew a 26-point lead. It got, I think it was like around the 8-minute mark, it got to a 3-point game, and it hadn't been that close since it was 2-0. So the Celtics, they never broke the lead in the whole game. They're on their third three-game winning streak of the season. They haven't won more than three this year. So they're going to Milwaukee Saturday night, and the Bucks have been surprisingly good. So it'll be interesting to see how they try to match up against Giannis. I assume there's going to be a lot more Jay Crowder and even some James Young in that game, because those are the only two guys on this team that can guard Giannis. But it'll be really fascinating to see how they try to play that team.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that game. Nice back-to-back. See if Celtics can win four games in six nights. Yeah, four games in six nights.
All right. So we got the Garden Report coming up. We're going to have our boy Travis Singleton, who moved to cover the Oklahoma City Thunder. He was on the show last time, and we talked for about half an hour just talking about the Western Conference and all that. So that was pretty cool. We'll try to keep it a little bit shorter tonight. And then Jimmy Toscano's back from covering the Super Bowl, and we'll probably hear some Super Bowl stories from him, and we'll talk about this game, and we'll look ahead to the All-Star break as well.
All righty. Thanks so much for coming on, Jared, as always. Sure. Great stuff.
Yeah, man.
Thanks so much,
Jared.
Have a good one.
One thing worth mentioning, Jess, is that Jared now is, we are posting the all the locker room videos. Will be start, I believe, probably in the next week, will start to be published on our mobile app, free mobile app. So you'll be able to get all the locker room coverage in video format on the mobile app. Next year, that'll probably be a premium function. This year, we're going to keep it free for the rest of the season. And when I say premium, you're talking 99 cents or less. Inexpensive. But, this year, for the rest of the season, we're going to keep it free. And obviously, the app itself is free and can be found at clnsradio.com/iOSfree. Or if you are an Android user, clnsradio.com/Android.
Yeah, it's an excellent app. It's makes it easier to listen to the shows everywhere, which dedicated listeners, you definitely want. And I've enjoyed being in random places and being able to catch up on some of the shows. So definitely highly recommended to get that mobile app. That was an excellent idea by you guys to get that. No question about it.
Thanks, buddy. It was an expensive idea, too.
I bet it was.
It's been worth it. Yeah.
It's definitely
worth it. Yeah. You talk about ease of listening. I just mentioned earlier about the call lines, yet the ratings are up. Our listenership, thank you to everybody who does tune in and who has downloaded the CLNS Radio mobile app, because our listenership has nearly doubled, and I do give credit to the mobile app for that, because it's certainly not the Celtics, you know, just blowing up the basketball court with success here that has fan enthusiasm up. I think generally it's been Patriots fans. Thank you, Pats Nation. Congrats on the Super Bowl. And the mobile app. So, yeah, download it. It's free.
Yeah, that's the way to go. And I apologize before. I said 4 games in 6 nights. It is 4 games in 5 nights, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. That is 5 days. So the Celtics could be getting their 4th win out of 5 nights. And that would be pretty awesome to get the first 4-game winning streak of the year. And then they have a little long break. And then they play the Hawks on Wednesday for the last game before the All-Star break. And the Hawks once again beat the Warriors tonight, 124-116. So they are on fire. That team's incredible. And hey, who knows? Maybe the Celtics can squeak out an improbable win at home on Wednesday and possibly go into the All-Star break with a 5-game winning streak. That would be good for your playoff hopes for sure. So I'm looking forward to these following 2 games.
That would be terrific. Nice to see wins piling up and 5-game win streak. I don't think we've seen that in probably 3 or 4 seasons, at least 2 or 3. So yeah.
Yeah, because they were pretty average even before.
Oh yeah.
Before Brad Stevens came here the last year. So
really, really struggled Docs last year. A lot of there was a real lack of chemistry, to be honest with you, and there was a forcing Rondo as the leader on the fan base, which I think made everything very awkward. And then Jason Terry was a disappointment, and Sully got injured. And so yeah, it's been I don't believe we strung together 5 wins in a row probably since 2011-12 probably.
Probably. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. But definitely not last year and definitely not this year. So that'd be exciting. We'll look for that possibility, but they'll go for at least 4 tomorrow night, and that's definitely a possibility, cuz Milwaukee's definitely beatable and the Celtics are playing pretty well currently. So
yeah.
We'll see what happens.
That's fun, man. Fun tonight.
Yeah, this is a fun show. Glad that we could do it, and good to get some more lead hosting experience. I had a blast with it. So yeah, thanks for staying up late to do the whole show. You hung in there.
Yeah, I'm up at 5 a.m. every day, including weekends, you know, so it is a stretch to stay up late. Most people would say, what? 11 o'clock is not late. But,
right.
yeah, but this old man, it is. And this was fun tonight, and it was great to actually broadcast a win, as I've had very, very, very few this year, last 2 seasons that I've broadcasted. So yeah, this is fun.
Well, I'm glad they won it for you, and yes, it always always makes it more fun.
Just for me, man. Yeah.
Just for you.
Yeah, this is fun. A lot of fun tonight.
That's going to wrap it up for us here on the CLNS Radio Celtics postgame show. Once again, for the final time, the Celtics beat the Sixers 107-96 for their 3rd win out of 3 chances this season against Philadelphia. They will battle one more time on March 16th in Boston. So we'll look forward to that game and see if they can pull off the 4-game sweep of the Philadelphia 76ers. No great feat, but hey, they lost 3 out of 4 of them last year. So why not? Why not win 4 in a row?
So what's that, man? Yeah, well, first of all, don't forget, give out your Twitter handle, man. Mine's CLNS_Nick. Shoot me a follow 9 times. Well, I don't know about 9 times out of 10, but if you're compelling enough, I'm definitely going to follow you back. And, of course, CLNS Radio is at CLNS Radio.
Yeah, and you can find me at CLNS_JessSayin, JessSayin, which I know it's a little funny name, but hey, it stuck when I first used it. So.
I love that. Love that. Man.
Yeah,
that's great.
It works. It works for me. But I need more Twitter followers. So please, everyone listening, follow me, and I'll definitely follow you back, because I'm still learning the Twitter ways like we talked about earlier. So please follow me and follow Nick and follow CLNS and listen to all the great shows. We'd appreciate it. So that's going to do it for us. Celtics 3-game winning streak, Milwaukee tomorrow. Make sure to check out that. So We will see you later, and thanks for listening. Night, Nick.
Night, all.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNSradio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcasts on the web.